Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
My shift at the old hospital started like any other. Night shift. The worst. The place was massive, a mix of old and new buildings. But the section I worked in was being demolished to make way for a new neonatology wing. That meant fewer people around, just a handful of security and maintenance workers. Fewer witnesses to whatever the hell was happening inside those halls. I had been working there for months, mostly routine stuff, checking on water lines, removing old piping, making sure no squatters had sneaked in. But everyone knew something was off about that place. It wasn't just the usual creaks and groans of an old building. Things moved. Sounds came from rooms that should have been empty, and sometimes you just felt watched. That night, I had one job. Inspect the remains of the demolished section. Make sure everything was clear before the construction crew came in the morning. I had my flashlight, my radio, and a deep sense of dread. The air inside the abandoned pavilion was thick with dust and something else. A staleness that didn't feel natural. As I moved through the hallways, my footsteps echoed, but the silence around me wasn't complete. There was something faint, distant. I don't know how to explain it. It was like running water. That made no sense. We had cut off the pipes weeks ago. I turned the corner toward the old sinks. A slow drip echoed, then another. The faucets were open, all of them. I tightened them, making sure they were shut, but the sound continued. I could hear water splashing against tile, but the sinks were dry. I should have walked away, caught it in and left, but something pulled me further. Down the hall, past the old patients' rooms, past the collapsed section that led to the morgue. That's when I saw them. I can't express in words the fear I felt in that moment. I saw figures. Figures in front of me just at the edge of my light. Moving, disappearing when I turned to look. I felt the first real wave of fear hit me, but I had seen shadows before. Tricks of the mind, I told myself. But then the crying started. At first it was faint, like a distant echo from another room. A baby crying. But the more I walked, the louder it became. It wasn't normal crying. It was desperate, pained. Coming from the chapel. I stepped inside, the large wooden doors creaking open. The place was dark, empty. Rows of pews stretched before me, and at the far end, near the altar, stood a figure. A nurse. She was facing away, her uniform old, yellowed with time. A long white apron over a blue dress, a cap covering her hair. She stood perfectly still. I took a cautious step forward. She moved. She didn't turn, she just moved a few inches closer. The sound of the baby crying grew unbearable. It was right next to me now, but there was no child in sight. She lifted her foot and tapped it against the wooden floor. Once, twice. My legs twitched, my muscles clenched as if something unseen was forcing me up. The second her foot touched the ground again, I stumbled back, barely catching myself before falling. When I raised my head again, the crying stopped and the nurse was gone. I ran, down the hall past the old offices, but the building didn't feel the same anymore. The walls seemed closer, the air thicker. I reached for my radio. Static. I heard sounds of footsteps behind me. They were slow, deliberate. I didn't want to check my surroundings, but I still did. I don't know why, but it was sure as hell I regretted doing that. I saw a dark liquid seeping from the walls, pooling on the tiles. Blood. While I was running, a door slammed shut down the hall. Then another. One by one, the rooms were closing, forcing me forward, toward the old operating room. The second I stepped inside, the door behind me slammed shut. The overhead light flickered on. Something shifted in the corner of the room. A shape, while the air turned ice cold. There was the figure of the nurse again, twitching violently, its back to me. She was convulsing, jerking its limbs at unnatural angles. Then it stopped. Slowly, it turned to me. I didn't wait. I grabbed the nearest metal tray and threw it. The sound echoed as the thing lunged. She was right in front of me, and she easily grabbed my neck in seconds. Its hands were ice cold, gripping my throat. Fingernails bit into my skin. I thrashed, kicking, clawing. My hand found a scalpel. I drove it into whatever was above me. Her grip loosened. I shoved the thing off me and crawled toward the door, fumbling with the lock. The blood on the walls began dripping faster, soaking my clothes. The door finally gave way. I ran. I didn't stop. Past the collapsing hallway, past the chapel, through the halls that felt wrong. The air was thick with the stench of blood. My boots slipped on the soaked floor. My breath was ragged, shallow. The entrance was just ahead. The old iron doors. I pushed forward, ignoring the cold hand that seemed to reach from the walls. The whispers growing louder. My hands hit the door. It was locked. No, no, no! This can't be! I pounded against it, throwing my weight. Something was coming. The footsteps behind me, faster, closer. I turned. It was someone with a flashlight. It was really blinding. I suddenly heard a woman's voice. Hey, are you okay? It was a nurse. I didn't know what she was doing there, but she seemed normal. I watched around her. The hospital was just like before. No blood, no ghost, nothing. Suddenly, the door in front of me was opened. I didn't try to talk to the nurse. I was too in shock. I just ran out of the building. The nurse probably thought I was a thief or that I'd gone crazy. I never went back. I quit the next day. They asked why, but I didn't have an answer they'd believe. A week later, the building was demolished. I sometimes think about what I lived that night. And then, a thought comes to my mind. What was a nurse with a flashlight doing in the abandoned part of the hospital? If the door was locked, how did she enter? If she heard someone and went to investigate, why would she be alone? You know, I'm probably mistaken, but if I didn't run that night, would I be here telling this story? This story is based on real events that took place at the Madariaga Hospital in Posadas, Argentina, an old medical center with a disturbing past. Several workers and witnesses reported paranormal occurrences in the old pavilions before they were demolished, including the cries of babies coming from the chapel, shadows that vanished when approached, and faucets turning on by themselves, even though the water supply had been cut off. One of the most terrifying apparitions is that of a nurse dressed in an old-fashioned uniform, who was said to touch people with her foot to make them stand up. The story gained even more attention when a photo taken before the demolition showed a ghostly figure among the rubble. Hospital workers insist the building had an unsettling energy, with doors slamming shut on their own, unexplained noises in empty rooms, and blood-like stains appearing on the walls and floors. Although the hospital has been modernized and much of the original structure no longer exists, accounts of terrifying experiences persist, fueling the legend that something still lingers in the place. It was a bald, wrinkled, almost blue head. Its eyes were huge and white, and as it looked at me, it had a smile from ear to ear that chilled my blood. Have you ever done urban explorations? You see, I'm not a YouTuber. I'm not interested in generating content from this, and I don't even want to become famous. I just enjoy getting into places where other people wouldn't go. To tell you the truth, I never believed in the paranormal, and that's not what I was looking for in these explorations. And that's why I can tell you this story, as I spent months thinking I had gone crazy. It all started on a camping day. I had planned to do an exploration of the forest. Nothing out of the ordinary. I was just going to spend the night in the woods. None of my friends could go, but I had no problem with that. It wasn't my first exploration alone, and it wasn't going to be my last one either. Or so I thought. I spent the whole day going deep into the heart of the forest. I didn't really know what I would find, but I knew that there were no animals too dangerous or anything like that, since I always investigated where I go. When I got deep enough into the forest, I noticed that it was starting to get dark, so I made my camp and set up camp in a part that I saw as fairly open and free of trees. I ate quickly and went to sleep when it was still quite early. As the sun was rising before 6 a.m., I wanted to get up early and with lots of energy. I closed my eyes slowly, and before I knew it, I was asleep. When I opened my eyes, I felt something was wrong. I'm not a deep sleeper, but I can sleep through the night if no one wakes me up. And that night, something woke me up. The night seemed normal and quiet, but something was wrong. Call it a feeling, experience, or whatever, but I knew someone was there. Looking out at the pasture in front of me, I watched as something moved unnaturally. The wind wasn't blowing and it didn't seem to be an animal. Someone was watching me. It's not the first time I've been in danger, but I've never encountered anything like this before. A stalker whose face or intentions I did not yet know was watching me. Faced with this discovery, I did the most logical thing I could think of. I grabbed my flashlight, a knife I had at my side, and went into the opposite direction to where the grass was moving. In that camp, I didn't have anything too expensive. I could go look for it the next day if there was anything left. In one swift move, I took off at high speed towards the pasture and started running as fast as I could. I didn't know exactly where we were, but I had a good idea of it. As I ran away, I could hear someone behind me chasing me, but the footsteps got lost little by little until they ended up disappearing. I walked a little more looking for a place to hide, and that's when it hit me. In front of me was an abandoned building under construction. It was strange for all the things outside. It looked like a hospital. But what was a hospital doing in the middle of nowhere? Why was it abandoned? Whatever the reason, it was a good hiding place from whoever was still walking near me, so I decided to go in and hide until I was sure this person wasn't following me anymore, or just that it would be daylight. Once inside, I realized that the place was fuller than I thought. Why would they leave a place like this half built? I explored the abandoned hospital, trying to get as far into it as possible. I wasn't really afraid of what might be inside the hospital, but it was the man who was stalking me outside that really terrified me. Behind a closed double door, there were lights. How was this possible? How did the energy get here? Why was it coming? Where was I? I admit that curiosity got the better of me and I walked to the door. Once I opened it, I was met with a new surprise. Behind the closed door, there were no people. There were no guards, and they were not performing any experiments or anything I could expect. It was just a hallway with light. I walked a little inside this corridor, considering going into one of these doors to hide. If that person who was stalking me saw this place, he would surely think there were guards and would not want to enter. I walked in with a big smile, thinking that the worst had already happened and that surely this person could not do anything, when something in front of me made me stop in my tracks and fall to the floor with fright. One of the doors to the lighted corridor was open. Behind that door, there was no light, just gloom. Normally, this would not be the striking thing. The whole hospital except that room was dark. What really surprised me was that behind that terrifying door, someone was peeking out. For a moment, I thought it might have been a guard. It could also be my stalker or a simple homeless person who was living in the hospital. But no, this was something much worse. I'll never forget how I felt when my eyes came face to face with whatever that was. It was a bald, wrinkled, almost blue head. Its eyes were huge and white, and as it looked at me, it had a smile from ear to ear that chilled my blood. I didn't know what this was, and it was the most terrifying thing I had ever seen in my life. At that moment, the first thing you think of is to run. Run as fast as you can and leave it behind. Would you believe me if I told you that I didn't? In that situation, I was so scared that my body became totally paralyzed, falling to the floor in panic and possibly victim to whatever it was that was in front of me, looking at me very calmly, as if knowing that I could not move. That being came out the door and walked slowly down the hallway towards me. His body was tall, gangly, and skeletal. His bones seemed to be disproportionate and senseless, but he still walked towards me without any problems. What struck me most was the way he walked. I'm still terrified thinking about it. The steps of this being were irregular and difficult, as if it was suffering every step it took. It was strange. It was walking like any other person, but something about that walk seemed forced. It was as if that thing that was coming towards me was trying to walk, trying to be human, trying to make me think that I could be calm because I had another human in front of me. Seeing something so horrible filled my body with energy, and instead of using it to fight this being, I used it to run. I ran and ran and ran. I was so desperate that I didn't realize that I was still in an abandoned place. Since I entered, my life never stopped being in danger. Not by ghosts, psychopaths, or accusers, but by myself. As I was escaping from the being in that hallway, I fell down the escape hatches and ended up on the floor below. My body hurt a lot, and it was impossible for me to get up. But even so, I made every effort humanly possible to get out of that area, to keep going down the stairs and get out of there as soon as possible. But it was no use. Because of the blow I had at that moment, it was impossible for me to keep my concentration enough to keep from fainting. And so, as I closed my eyes and saw something or someone crawling near me, my eyes were much heavier than before. And when I closed my eyes, I fainted. When I woke up, it was already daylight. My body hurt a lot, and I still had the wounds from falling off the ladder. I went back to check the area that was lit, but now, not only was there no light coming from under the door, but the door was locked with the chains. To tell the truth, it didn't bother me much either. Anyway, I had no plans to set foot in that area again. When I managed to escape, the first thing I did was to tell the police everything. Once I did, they all told me that what happened to me at the hospital was probably a lie, the results of my nerves being harassed. It could even be the development of a mental illness that made me hallucinate. Whatever it was, I was sure that what I saw there was real. What the police were able to discover was the information about the man who was following me. Apparently, he was an ex-convict who had escaped from prison. This man never planned to hurt me, but he surely would have if necessary. Luckily, the police caught him a few meters after he ran into me, as he just kept running in a straight line. I still wonder what happened that day. Honestly, the older I got, the blurrier the whole story became. Let this be a lesson. To remember, there are things beyond human understanding. Today, I'm afraid to go camping or to hospital. And I know that no one can judge me for it. The only thing I hope is that no other explorer ends up in that scary abandoned hospital again. Maybe I survived by being lucky, but who knows what that thing might do to the next person who walks in. I will ask you a question, and I will be very direct. Do you believe in life after death? My name is Andrew, and I'll tell you the truth. That's something I wonder about a lot.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I've been a doctor for several years now, and I'm in constant contact with death. I have seen more people die than you will ever see in your lifetime. In some cases, I felt that nothing could be done, but in others, I felt quite guilty for not having done a better job. Whatever the case, even if I was a very good doctor, not everything went my way. But no matter how many nights I was with patients, I never saw as much death as I did that night. Do you know what the worst thing is? That only one patient died that night, but something happened in the hospital. Something I will never understand and never want to see again. It all happened with the arrival of a girl. Obviously, I can't say her name, so let's call her Jane. Jane arrived at the place in a coma. The parents were very Catholic, and they used very unconventional medicine on her. Sometimes, those things work on patients as a placebo, but when health is in the way, the only way to fix these problems is with a doctor. But this girl? Hell, she was a totally different case. We couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. The girl had gone through a lot of stages before she went into a coma. In the beginning, she had very strange behaviors that suggested a multiple personality disorder. Over time, this developed into more unexplainable things. Things in her house would move. Dead birds would appear around her. And it was even said that the rooms Jane was in would freeze over for a short time, even in the middle of summer. You can imagine where this is coming from, can't you? Yes, that's what you can imagine. The report said that the reason Jane was in a coma was because she had undergone an exorcism. The girl arrived with bruises all over her body, but strangely tied up. They told us they tried to get a demon or something like that out of her body, but the process was too much for her, so they had to interrupt it. When I was reading her file and the family was telling me all this, I was genuinely outraged. This poor girl surely had the worst night of her life, and all because of the negligence of a family that refused to believe in traditional medicine because they believed in angels and demons. Anyway, that girl was going to have to stay in the hospital, and we were going to have to be on the lookout for any symptoms she developed. We couldn't do much more than heal her physical wounds. Now it was just a matter of time acting on her. As the night fell, the number of doctors at the hospital was much smaller. Many employees were on strike due to a massive layoff at the hospital, so by evening, there were only a few experienced doctors, a few nurses, and a few residents. I decided to work overtime as I wanted to take care of a woman who had been hit by her husband's car after a domestic dispute. But she was in pretty bad shape. This woman was on the same floor as Jane, and you will soon see why that is so relevant. The nightmare started when I came out to check on the lady. To my surprise, the place was a lot more cold. The air conditioners were working fine as I checked them and felt the heat they were putting out. All the medics were on the lower floors as that was where the emergencies were happening. I walked to the stairs to give them a hand until I came across something that caught me off guard. I passed by one of the rooms, and the ceiling was moving by itself. All the ceiling panels were being violently hit, but there was no one around. At first, I thought it might be a tremor, but it didn't make any sense. A tremor in just one room? I took out my cell phone and filmed it as soon as possible. I needed an explanation for this, and someone was going to have to give it to me. Uncomfortably, I walked away from the room, and that's when I saw her. It was Jane. She was across the hall, looking at me. She was standing in perfect health, looking in my direction. "Hey, Jane? I know you must be pretty confused. You're in the hospital. My name is Aunt D." At that moment, the girl simply left as if bored by what I was saying to her. At that moment, I knew I could not allow her to walk the halls so freely. This girl was in a coma very recently. Who knows if she was confused or scared by everything she experienced? She was not only a danger to the rest of the patients, but to herself. I ran after her as fast as I could, but when I got to the end of the hallway and turned in the direction she went, I saw something else. At the end of the new hallway was a stretcher, but not just any stretcher. The same stretchers they use in the morgue. Do you know what else was on top of the gurney? A white bag with a corpse in it. Seeing that image, I was both horrified and confused. I pulled one more time and recorded this before taking it out, but as I was doing so, something else happened. The bag with the corpse, it raised its head. What was going on? Was I being made a bad joke? No, none of my companions would have joked it with something like that. Seeing this image, I walked frightened towards the stairs. I didn't know what was going on, but I had to get out of there. I was a few steps away from the stairs, and that's when, in an impulsive act, I turned my head to Jane's room. She was in bed. What? I entered her room in confusion. She was there exactly as she had been left. That couldn't be. I had seen Jane just a few seconds before, and she had gone in another direction. She had gone to a dead end. There was no way she was going back to bed without crossing me. At that moment, all the exorcism stories about Jane started to rattle me. Maybe just for that moment, I believed them and realized I was in the wrong place. I had to get out of there as soon as possible. I ran to the door, but I couldn't open it. It was locked. I was locked in Jane's room. I started to hear sounds behind me. I didn't want to turn around. I didn't want to confirm my suspicions. But there she was, pointing her finger at me, standing up, staring at me. I panicked and banged on the door as hard as I could, but it wouldn't open. Meanwhile, Jane fell off the bed and was crawling towards me, slowly, dragging with the respirator to which she was attached. Once she reached my foot, she began to climb up to stand on it, using my clothes to hold on and get face to face with me.
Kill me.
I was speechless, totally frozen with fear, not knowing how to react. From one second to the next, I could see Jane's face change. She became more skeletal than scarred.
Don't let him take me.
As soon as she finished saying that sentence, I felt much colder in the room. The place got darker, and I could see something taking shape from the shadows. It was some kind of goat, but standing up on two legs. Its face was horrible, even demonic. Its eyes were red, and its very presence made me tachycardia, and I fell to the floor. At the same time, Jane also fell to the ground, but not on her own. Something invisible was grabbing her foot, pulling her into darkness. She cried desperately and begged for help as her body continued to lose weight and become more and more skeletal. From the darkness, I could hear a small mocking laugh, and suddenly, I woke up. When I opened my eyes, I was in Jane's room. The door was open. Apparently, I had fainted. Jane was lying in her bed, still in a coma. I opened the door and ran as fast as I could down the stairs and met up with the other doctors. When we checked on Jane in the morning, she was already dead. There was nothing we could do. She went from being stable to suffering a sudden death. It's been a while since then, and to be honest, I still have no idea what I saw. I didn't leave the hospital. People needed me. But you know, I was never alone on any floor again. The night shift is not for me. And I feel sorry for the poor devil who will live again a situation like the one I lived through in the hospital. In my 30 years as a doctor in this hospital, you can imagine that I have seen all kinds of things. Patients fighting for their lives and others who no longer wanted to live. I saw violent families demanding that we do something more to save their family members, and people completely abandoned. Being a doctor is a difficult job, and only experience prepares you to be one. But there was a time when nothing could have prepared me for what I saw. Something so strange and out of this world, I can't put into words. That day, I saw evil in its purest state right in its eyes, and it looked back at me. It all started with a patient who had arrived a few days before. She was in intensive care, getting better. The day she was brought in, she had a lot of bruises and fractures in her body. Initially, we thought she had suffered domestic violence, but she was not in a relationship, and when a neighbor told the police about the noises, they found her at home with the door closed, alone. Maybe when she woke up, she was going to give us the answers to so many questions that we had been developing during these days. At that time, I can't say that I was an experienced doctor, but with a little more than 5 years of experience, I could say that I knew my way around the hospital. And that's why I can say that one day when I was doing night rounds at the hospital, I saw something that I don't think many other doctors have seen. I was in the room with one of my patients behind me. I had the strange sensation that someone had walked down the hallway. Hello, is somebody there? Hey. Did you see someone behind me? I'm the only doctor around.
Lo he visto. Era un demonio. Te estaba mirando.
Sorry, I don't speak Spanish.
Demon. Demon behind.
What? Did he just say there was a demon behind me? That was weird. The man only had a broken leg and even thought I understood half of what he said. We had a talk a few seconds ago and he seemed in his senses. Now, he just seemed bothered. Like he saw the face of the devil itself behind me. I have to admit, that really scared me.
Demon, don't go. It was a demon. Red eyes and smile.
Hey, take it easy. It could be a lost patient. I have to check it out. Be right back, okay? And just like that, I left my patient. I ran quickly to the door, but when I saw the hallway, it was empty. Maybe he was gone. It may seem illogical, but I felt that something bad was happening. It was something I couldn't see or put into words, but it was as real as anything you are seeing right now. The hallway filled with an almost gelid cold. I felt the urge to leave, but I couldn't do it. I felt that someone was in danger and that I had to do something. I started to walk down the hallway, and the cold was getting more and more intense. I resisted my impulse to leave as fast as I can and kept walking until I reached the girl's room. Her door was open and her lights were on. I had a troubling feeling about her. I felt she was in danger, so I tried to enter her room, but something didn't want me to. The door slammed violently in my face. Was that the wind? No, impossible. There are no windows open, and the whole movement was way too violent. I tried to open it, but it wouldn't budge. The girl woke up screaming in terror. Her eyes were wide open. She began to inspect her surroundings, lost. Suddenly, she saw something that terrified her. What was there? I couldn't see a thing. The girl got out of bed and tried to run, but she didn't know she was in a cast, so she fell to the floor. Meanwhile, I was pounding on the door as hard as I could. It was as if the weak bedroom doors were suddenly reinforced. The woman crawled against the wall, away from someone I couldn't see, but it was there. The girl began to feel pressure on her neck, and stuck against the wall, she was floating. She was fighting for her life, fighting to breathe. From behind the door, I could see how her arms and legs were breaking on their own, and from one second to the next, her neck snapped. The girl fell lifeless to the floor. The door to her room opened, and I rushed in. I stared in disbelief at what had happened. She was dead. This wasn't an accident or suicide. Somebody actually killed her. This didn't make any sense, and I refused to believe that there was something paranormal happening. But suddenly, I felt someone behind me. When I turned around, I saw it.
A black figure more than 2 meters tall was staring at me. Its body was slender but imposing, and its eyes were red with the most intense fire I had ever seen in my life. I closed my eyes in disbelief, and when I opened them again, there was no one there. At that moment, I felt someone grab me by the neck and throw me against the wall of the hallway. I tried to get up, but the invisible being kicked me in the face and started stepping on my face as if I were a cockroach. I stood up and ran as fast as I could. As I did so, I heard mocking laughter from behind me, slowly fading into the echo of the huge hospital. It was never determined what had happened to the girl. The footage had disappeared, and although I was a suspect for a short time, the police concluded that I had nothing to do with it. I never saw anything remotely paranormal in the hospital again, but there is not a night that goes by that I don't hear that laughter in the hospital.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
That mocking, provocative laugh sounds like a reminder that I couldn't save that girl that day.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.